The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Last year, what is going on at LSU involving this Title IX investigation? Certainly at the front line of that investigation for the advocate has been Andrea Gallo. We have been eager to get back with her and find out exactly what is transpiring. Andrea, thanks so much. Good to have you back. How are you?
Hi, Paul. It's always good to be here with you. I'm doing well. How have you been?
We're okay. So tell us, because you know, with Ed O gone, some of it has calmed down, although I know there you have reported on a number of different events recently. So give us a summary of where we are.
Sure. So last April, after LSU released their Hush-Blackwell report, there were kind of two main lawsuits filed against LSU. One was from a group of students, mostly former students, who said that they were sexually assaulted or victims of domestic violence on campus and that LSU mishandled their claim. They had named Ogeron as a defendant along with a host of other people, LSU's former athletic director, Joe Oliva, LSU's former president, F. King Alexander. In that case, last week, they narrowed down their list of defendants. And by doing that, they dropped Ogeron, they dropped Alexander, they dropped Oliva, they dropped about a dozen defendants from the suit. So LSU remains a defendant, and a few LSU employees remain defendants, but Ogeron is no longer kind of in the crosshairs of that one. And then there was a second suit filed last year by an LSU athletic department employee, Sharon Lewis, who said that she had tried to report Les Miles' alleged sexual harassment when she was working under him and that she was retaliated against for doing so. She had tried to bring some RICO claims against LSU, which are like racketeering claims that people use often for criminal enterprises. Those have been mostly tossed out of court, and her attorneys announced yesterday that she has lost her job at LSU. So that's kind of where we are.
So I know, Andrea, we're still in, I wouldn't call it the early stages of this investigation and subsequent suit, but how would you describe the process and the timetable and the calendar on where we are now?
So where we are with both lawsuits, if they continue to move forward, I think is where both sides will start doing discovery. They'll start taking depositions. They'll start looking through emails. They'll start looking for evidence. Usually that's when things get pretty serious in these cases, and a lot of times there's pressure to settle them during those stages. So I guess we'll see if anyone involved is willing to hash out a settlement. If not, we'll probably see them going through discovery at least for several months, if not another year or so, before we would potentially get to a trial date.
And assuming we did, and that's an assumption, what would be at stake for the university?
Well, I think there's a couple trains of thought here. Certainly from a public relations standpoint and reputational standpoint, LSU would have to defend its actions and insist that they did handle sexual misconduct complaints properly, that they didn't retaliate against employees, those sorts of things. But also at stake is quite a bit of money, I'm sure. You know, if LSU were to lose a major Title IX lawsuit in federal court, that would likely come with a significant monetary judgment against the university. So that's also an aspect of it, which, since LSU is a public university, at the end of the day, the taxpayers would likely be the ones kind of footing that bill one way or another. So those are a couple of things at stake. But LSU is also still under investigations from Federal Department of Education investigators who are looking at how they've handled Title IX and how they've handled CLEARI, which is crime reporting on campus, And depending on the results of those investigations, LSU could also be on the hook for money, depending on those results.
Andrea, I'm going to veer over to Ed O for a minute. I know these are difficult questions for an investigative reporter, and I'm asking you to try to be interpretive about things that you may not feel comfortable with. But most people, at least you live down there, you know what I'm talking about, felt like as long as he won, he was going to be okay. So he quit winning, and he gets run out of there, even with a $17 million payoff. But how much do you think all of this outside noise, even though he was dropped from that case, do you think may have played overall into the decision by the university to say, we're done with this guy?
That's a good question, and I will point out that one of the conditions of that $17 million buyout was that he continue to cooperate with the university in the course of this lawsuit. I mean, he's no longer a defendant, but I think he could certainly potentially be called as like a witness or be deposed. So even though he's not a defendant, I would say he is still somewhat connected to it, and in certain ways might still have to make good on that promise to cooperate with it. But as far as how much of a role it played in his termination, I'm not totally sure. I think that had he had an undefeated season last year, he might still be at LSU. I do think that at the end of the day, we've seen kind of time and time again that LSU is willing to handle maybe somewhat more unsavory aspects of coaching whenever their coaches are performing well on the field. And for Ogeron, his team wasn't winning as much. So I think that that maybe made the other aspects of his coaching or of his personal life stand out a little bit more.
And I know he is long gone from the scene, at least from a time standpoint. He's now pretty much long gone from almost every scene. But where is it? Where is all of this with Les Miles?
That's a good question, too. So Les Miles was actually named as a defendant in the Sharon Lewis retaliation lawsuit that I mentioned earlier. He has been dropped as a defendant for some of her claims, but his attorneys are actually now pressing for sanctions against the attorneys who represent Sharon Lewis, because they're basically saying that she brought this very damaging lawsuit against him without doing enough kind of prior investigation on the front end to do so. So they're asking the judge to sanction her attorneys for that. I guess we'll see how the judge rules on that and whether anything comes out of that. But beyond that, I don't think that anyone at LSU has really heard from Les Miles or kind of talked about him recently, though I saw that Jamar Chase said today that Les Miles told him he wasn't ready to be a receiver at LSU. So maybe that'll revive the Les Miles.
Yeah, I mean, the ghost of Les Miles just won't go away. It doesn't appear to me that he's well thought of by the Vox Populi down in Baton Rouge. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I've never really heard much animus toward Coach O. You hear the national championship. Now Joe Burrow is back in the news all the time. No matter what his involvement in this is or isn't or anything else, it seems like he has been able to walk out of town pretty well.
Yeah, I think that's right, Paul. I think whenever Les Miles left, people were kind of split over his reputation and his tenure. And then when all of this stuff came out about his sexual harassment investigation, the tides really turned against him. Whereas Ogeron has held a lot more popularity despite his departure, I think. And I guess we'll see in the future whether that changes and whether people kind of come to think of him differently. But I do think part of that is he is like a local figure. He's a Cajun. He speaks the language down here. And I think a lot of people feel kind of a close connection to him specifically for that reason.
Andrea Gallo doing great work, and I know it's not easy, Andrea, in a place like that to to be poking the bear, or the tiger in this case.
Well, thanks, Paul. It's good talking with you.
We always appreciate it. We're big fans. Andrea Gallo, just an outstanding reporter. And, you know, the fact that none of this would have probably mattered had Ed Orgeron been undefeated this year tells us all that we already really know about what we do here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome all of you back. It's great to have you here late on a Wednesday. And Augie, that lawyer in New Orleans, is calling.
Yeah, I mean, there must be another lawyer from Louisiana that calls in, right? And he must be an idiot. So I don't recall who that is, but I know it's not Augie. So I know that that guy doesn't want to open up door number 3. So if he's listening, you better just make sure he's not talking about Augie. But
Augie, it is my informed opinion that he was referring to you.
Oh, fine, Bob. How you doing, brother? This is the Black Hat Man. I wear a black hat on my head because you open up my skull. I got no brain. I'd be playing with it. And look who I'm hanging with. Look at my ride partner. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that moron because, boy, if I was the lawyer on the other side, you wouldn't have even heard of this guy. He'd still be rotting in the jail. But anyway, great interview, Paul, with Andrea. You did have to blow it, though, by bringing up Les Miles. Where did that come from?
Well, he was by the way, you did give us a suggestion, and thank you. And I thought he deserved a question.
Well, let's forget about Les Miles, please. Can we not mention Les Miles? Let's just keep him out of it.
Okay, I will refrain from ever mentioning his name again.
I think it was last week, somebody was talking to you, and you said, you know, I'm not a doctor. Well, I hate to say that, Paul, but you play a doctor on TV, like those commercials say. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. You play a cardiologist, remember? You helped old Larry out. You're a virologist, an endocrinologist, an orthopedist, an oncologist. The only areas of medicine that I have not heard you practice was pediatrics and OBGYN. But you're also a social worker, a political analyst. You're a priest. You're a grief counselor. You're a legal expert, especially in constitutional law, but you're also good at contracts and intellectual property. You're a professor of many subjects, but as a doctor, your two primary fields of practice are psychiatry and geriatrics. And you're
my specialty is geriatrics.
But I also have to say, your prime expertise is as instigator, agitator, agent provocateur. You're an insurgent, a saboteur. And today, with one of your very prolific guests, you were throwing out little hooks that just were not catching. And you kept throwing them out, and they weren't catching. So I give you big props for that. And I also want to say that Matt's phone call was really good. I like Matt, and he's a great caller. And if he's out there, I think he adds a lot to your show, and I'm going to listen to his podcast, but we never got his Twitter handle or his podcast handle. So if Matt could give that in, I'd like to listen to his podcast. I think he did some gave him some great tips there, Paul. And as far as that guy who mentioned the idiot from Louisiana, he just needs to stay away from Augie because he does not want any of this. Thanks, Paul.
Augie, thank you very, very much. Jim is next.
Oh, my goodness, Paul. Well, he'll be glad to know that that podcast by Matt is it's for kindergarten, 3 to 6 year olds. He'll fit right in. That's perfect for that lawyer, that bad man, that bore, that guy, that idiot you just had on, a lawyer. Lawyer, what's his name?
Augie.
We don't even want to know his name.
August,
he's the
boldest caller.
Hey,
what is
what
is Augie short for? Augustine?
I don't know, Paul. Awful is the only thing that comes to my mind with A.
Augustus, maybe.
Augie. It's awful. He's just another yellow hatter. Paul, have you ever heard this guy, legend, is peaking? I'm telling you, he's peaking. You know that. He came in here smoking hot. That's the funniest segment I've ever heard, maybe on this show ever. I really mean that. That was hilarious. He was all over it. And I hope that, he gave Miss Faye, a.k.a. Miss Kitty. That was great. I hope she receives her hat.
By the way, Augie derives from the Latin word Augustus. Just want to clear that record.
Well, what does that mean? Who was Augustus? Bad man?
He was a figure in history, man? I think.
Huh?
He was a mildly important figure in history.
Well, we know that this guy is nothing important about him. It's all irrelevant by that guy. I've never heard a more boring caller. He's even more boring than Squirrel and what's the other guy's name? Mitch? The guy's horrible. He's horrible on the radio. I wonder how successful his law career has been. Gee, my ninny. Yeah. How would you like to have that guy as a lawyer? I mean, in a tough case. Well, of course, we know where he's from, you know. What's the guy, Garrison, down there years ago? What was his name?
Jim Garrison.
Jim Garrison?
He was the one.
Yeah, he's probably his partner. Augie and him affiliated, probably, right?
Yeah.
Paul, you're not talking.
I'm just thinking about Augustus. He was the first emperor of Rome, I believe, but I'm just pushing my ancient Roman history on that.
Well, that would fit Augie. he's a bad Catholic, isn't he? Good night.
That's beyond my purview here.
Well, I don't know what to say, but Legend came in smoking hot. He was really good. That was funny. You have to admit that was funny.
But you're right. Legend's call was epic.
It really was.
Yeah.
It really was. It was epic.
Hey, by the way, do you have anything to say we got a couple of guys on hold, Red Dog and I-Man, who are following you. Any words of wisdom for them?
You can't tell those morons anything. Like, that's all they are. Have you ever tried to help a moron? Wait a minute, you better not ask that. Yeah, you've tried to help a ton of them. But that's all they are. And, of course, you know what they'll come in here with now, with me on the air. But, hey, you know what? Dan Sheridan, attention, thank you. He said, don't pay attention. Just make sure they get your name right. That's what I'm going to do. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Jim. Red Dog is next.
My God, if Jim from Tuscaloosa said I was a good caller, I'd just go ahead and jump off the cliff.
You know? Yes, you would.
And do we really have to listen to 8 more months of Legend making excuses why Georgia is the national champion?
Well, we've heard your excuses for the last 4 years, so why not? What's wrong with a couple
but
more
it's
months?
It's over, Paul. It's over, Paul. And y'all can't even beat us in basketball. We suck. We're terrible. I was actually Georgia fans were rooting that Alabama would beat us last night where they'd go ahead and fire Crean, but they saw those national champion hats and they froze. But here's the thing with Legend. He can make fun of Stetson Bennett. He can call him a midget, but just make sure you put national champion in front of it. And Stetson, he's got a contract. Well, great, Clips. What about you there, Legend? He got a national championship haircut. And you're going to have to go to bed every night knowing that Georgia won the national championship. Doesn't that sound great, Paul? Georgia national champions, you know, 15 points. I mean, it was the greatest.
It sounds good to me.
And, you know, it's just going to continue.
I'm happy as a lark.
And you know what? I am too. And I'm just telling you, it's going to happen next year. And, you know, I want to correct this for legend. We are three-time national champions. Three-time. I got the hat, Paul. It doesn't matter that one of them was in leather helmets. Three-time national champion. It doesn't matter.
Hey, Red Dog, thank you. I-Man is up next.
Interesting show. You know, right now Georgia's celebrating more than they ever have since the devil went down to Georgia and Johnny Rosened up that bow.
Ooh.
You know, Alabama goes to Atlanta.
Sung by a Tennessee man.
Alabama goes to Athens, gets the ass whipped. Alabama might not need to go to Georgia for a little while. Don't even go to Six Flags. Just stay away. Now, Paul, I did a little math, and I'm pretty good at math.
Well, I bet you are.
The Black Hatters, whatever you want to call them, their age bracket, all of them together, is somewhere around 270 years old. That's an average of 68 years old apiece, divided by four.
How do you get 68?
All right, I'm given what Miss Faye is 83, 84.
I think she said she was 83.
All right, Jim is 77 in a few days. Legend is about 55. I'm assuming.
I think Jim might take exception to being 77.
No, he's 77.
Okay.
So you divide that by four, and you get about a 68-year-old average.
Okay.
And instead of being the Black Hats, it looks like the Gray Hats. And I'm telling you, all of them riding Legend's coattails, it's about time for Legend to go over to the transfer portal and do some changing, because he can't even send them out for a deep pass. A deep pass to them guys is 1 yard. Pitch the ball to them, and then lay down. Don't let them tackle you. Lay down, because you are at hip injury age, and Walker, and the best thing he can do is give them a walk.
Yeah, at 68, you don't want to be running too fast. I mean, you can run, but it's not too fast.
That's not called running, Paul. That's called shuffling.
All right, Matt,
so he's going to have to go to the portal and do something, because it's obvious everybody in that group is riding his coattails, and they all owe him dues, so they might as well pay their dues to him, because they're riding his coattails. Without Legend, none of those cats are – there's nothing relevant. There's nothing legitimate.
But they are – they're East Coast, though.
East Coast. I tell you what, that impersonation that Augie did –
Augie did a good imitation there. For a lawyer.
Yeah, and he's not East Coast. He's Gulf of Mexico. Now, you have a great day.
Okay. Kathy is – I'll tell you what. Why don't we wait? I don't want to rush anybody. We'll go to a break here. We've got a lot of calls remaining in the final 30 minutes. Please, if you leave, we will come get you. We're East Coast.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Final 30 minutes here on a Wednesday night. Squirrel is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Squirrel.
Thank you for taking my call. And, you know, if I could have one wish for the newer listeners slash watchers, and what I mean by newer, when the show went from satellite radio to TV, I wish some of the people that started listening to you since that time could hear some of Jim's calls back in 6-8 years ago when they were compelling and interesting. You know what I mean? You can't even get upset with Jim now. I'm more sad when I hear his calls, because literally all he does is every one of Jim's calls is going to mention a legend and Jeff and Danny Sheraton and our Tim Brando. And, I don't know. It's just, I remember the old Jim, and I long for those days. You remember that, Jim?
I do remember, yes. I remember everything about this show.
Of course you do. And legend. Did he say he wore a shirt to an Alabama-Auburn basketball game with a squirrel on back?
Yeah, he did say that, yes. Yes.
You know, he's the dude who stood on University Boulevard with a Dollar General T-shirt, a sweatshirt that had The Legend. Again, he refers to himself as a third party, The Legend on back of it. But, you know, he comes on with this jailhouse bravado, which, again, he had plenty of years to rehearse it. I give him credit for that. He's got a great act. But in reality, I've seen the dude. I looked down at the dude. He's no more intimidating than Joe from Red Bay. And I love Joe from Red Bay. I mean, Joe's just not a physically intimidating guy. But it's the little ones you got to watch for. I always told you that. But Legend, he's such a sissy. He would jump on my Twitter line a couple years ago, and I wouldn't even talk about him. He'd think he'd have to defend Jim or something, and within two tweets, I'd have him curled up in a corner sucking his thumb, and he'd have me blocked, and I'm blocked to this day. I mean, Legend is, when he talks about Twitter badasses or keyboard badasses, he is the epitome of the keyboard badass. I mean, he is just, it's sad. It's sad that these two guys tie themselves so close to the show. But the day you see me walking around with the squirrel on the back of my shirt, that's the day I want somebody to take a club and beat me. I mean, seriously. Because, and if I did it, I'd do it like Larry from Shelby did. You know, you remember his, remember he had the shirts printed.
Oh, yeah.
Larry from Shelby from the Paul Feinbaum show. But it was at he took obviously a shirt to a print shop, and it was professional. And if you're going to do it, at least look professional. But, no, you won't ever see me with a damn squirrel from Madison, but thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much, Squirrel. Appreciate it. Kathy is up next in Aiken, South Carolina. Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I am great. How are you?
I am even better hearing from you.
Awesome. I'm a Gamecock. And since South Carolina went from losing Clowney and everybody, we have not been much of shit. I will tell you that right now. But I will tell
Yeah. You were on a roll until you kind of went off course there. Usually when somebody crosses that line, we have to put an end to the call. It was a good call until she used some choice words. She was correct in what she said. It just wasn't applicable or permissible for this program. Wow. Steve is up next. Hey, Steve, go right ahead. Steve, are you there? Steve could not hear me. We will try Jeff, who is in Orange Beach, Alabama. Hello, Jeff. Am I having audio issues, or are they not hearing me? Jeff, go right ahead. Let's wait let's wait 7 seconds here and see if we can get this caller on. Play the Jeopardy music for final Jeopardy. We're waiting for Jeff. Hello, Jeff. Three more seconds. 2, 1. Jeff is next. Why is this lasting so long? Sorry, Jeff. You're on a cable system that gets this show a day late. We will try Lisa in Texas. Hello, Lisa. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Well, I am doing great. Thank you.
Oh, gosh. I love to see you laugh. Love to hear you laugh. Your expressions of waiting for the callers to come on.
Usually it takes 7 seconds, but I realize you can have two televisions in the same house. And if you're on satellite, you can get one, and then it will take, 15 seconds for the other one.
Exactly. Look, Paul, let me say thank you for sharing your stories about Bear Bryant today. Hearing your personal account of that day has really, really, really been good.
Thank you, Lisa.
In 1983, I was 13 years old. I wasn't a fan of college football. I did not become a fan until I married my husband. And since then, I mean, I've just fallen in love with the game. However, according to him, I became a fan of the wrong team in the wrong conference, being that Alabama and SEC. The first time I called your show, I mentioned, I'm an Alabama fan, but, I have Longhorns in my home. I have no problems with Texas. I'm still a fan, but I want to ask you this. On September the 10th, Alabama and Texas will meet up again. What are your thoughts about that game? As you know, that was the start of Saban, his championship.
Sure. That game is in Austin next year, and what a big game that is going to be. Wow.
Yes. Will you be there?
I hope so.
Can you bring the Feinbaum team there?
Well, it would be my fervor and hope. I don't know what else is going on that day. But I will do everything I can to influence whoever is in charge of those decisions. And my argument will be, we normally go to an SEC game, but I would say Texas will be in the SEC, so can't we check out the campus in advance? Alabama will definitely be favored. That is indisputable. And Texas will have a hotshot quarterback, so I don't want to rule them out, but I would definitely pick Alabama to win that game.
Of course, and I'm sure if my husband were here, I'm sure he's probably listening in the car driving home from work. He's probably upset, but we'll leave it as that.
Well, you tell your husband after this season, he shouldn't be upset about, he should be upset about some of the other games that Texas lost to, but not Alabama.
Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh. And that's the thing. He feels like, I'm not supporting Texas anymore. I mean, which I am. My daughter graduated from there. We raised our sons to be little Longhorn babies. They're grown now. But, I'm still a fan. But, Alabama is just my team. I love Saban, what he's done with Alabama, the history, just the history of the school. And, we'll just see what happens.
Well, Lisa, I certainly hope we are there, and I would love to meet you. Thanks so much. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.